Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Welcome. Good morning or good afternoon, I guess, depending on what part of the country you happen to be sitting from home or at work at today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountRecovery.net, and it really is my pleasure to welcome you to today's event, Best Ideas with Harry Strausser, Managing Your Office in a Pandemic. The fallout from the spread of coronavirus has spread throughout the country. Companies are asking employees to work remotely. Schools are closed. Fear and anxiety are in abundance, while food and water are not. In this webinar, which is being sponsored by Applied Innovation, Harry Strausser is here to lead one of his patented best ideas sessions, leading a group discussion about how companies in the arm industry can deal with this crisis from an operational and management perspective. Participants will be able to learn how others are managing their office during this crisis and be able to share what they are doing. Let me take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the arm industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars and events like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the arm industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use, and is a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. At least that's what my mother tells me. I hope you all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Now let me tell you a little bit about today's speaker. Harry Strausser is a second generation collection veteran, having held the position of president of two successful collection firms until the sale of those firms in May 2017. He is a senior certified trainer with ACA International, where he served on the ACA International Executive Committee and held the position of president in 2004 and 2005. From 2018 to early 2020, he held the staff position of Director of Education and Membership Development for ACA. He is now Vice President of Business Development for Applied Innovation. Having presented more than 1,000 programs during his 30-year tenure as a popular industry speaker, many of you should already know who he is and be excited at what's coming up today. The format for today's event is going to resemble a group discussion. We encourage everybody to participate in one of three ways. You can submit questions or comments through the Q&A button on your Zoom webinar control panel, or through the chat box in Zoom. Or you can click the button in Zoom to raise your hand, and when it's your turn, I will unmute your line and allow you to speak to everybody who is listening. I ask in advance that you please be patient. There are a lot of people signed up, and while Harry and I are willing to go as long as necessary to give everyone a chance to participate, it may take a little while for us to get to you. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made available in the coming days on AccountsRecovery.net. Today's program is being sponsored by Applied Innovation. Utilizing over 50 years experience in the collections industry and over 75 years experience in technology, Applied Innovation is helping to shape the future of accounts receivable management. Their product development is driven by customer feedback, agency profitability, and compliance. From their client portal to their payment negotiation tools and their documented management and storage platforms, you can partner with a company who understands your business challenges and evolves to provide cutting-edge technology to overcome them and to achieve success. I also want to add that there are a lot of people registered for this event. If for any reason we have any technology issues and we do get kicked off, please use the same credentials to log back in. Finally, before I introduce Harry, I want to remind everybody to consult with their attorney or legal counsel before making any decisions. Anything discussed today should not be taken as legal advice. Whew. All right, Harry, I think I've got everything said that I need to say, and I think we're ready to get started. Do you want to kick us off?
Thank you, Mike. Boy, that was a mouthful there. A lot of introductory, good information, though, so that we can see how the flow goes today. Welcome, everyone. Likewise, whether it be good morning or good afternoon, happy to be with you here today. I have to tell you, I'm used to really talking about much more upbeat topics. It's a shame that we have to be dealing with this crisis that is, of course, a worldwide crisis. And I have to tell you, like everyone else, I'm still a bit stunned about what we see happening. I work remotely. I've been working remotely for 3 years, so that culture isn't different. But I do have an office in my office building in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, occasionally come to. That's where I'm at today. And on my way here today, It's pretty stunning to look around and see all of the businesses shut down, the popular restaurants and the bars and the business offices, and it's like a ghost town. We're a college town, and the university is out. I mean, there's nothing happening. The schools in general are shut down. Everyone's at home, and I think what's different about what we're experiencing now is that this crisis is affecting every human being on the planet. And for those of you logged on today, I'm sure you're experiencing the same thing from the standpoint that you are now being forced as a leader of your family, in your community, a leader in your company, a leader in the industry. You know, many of you logged on today, I saw the list, you know, you're well-known leaders within the industry. You're being forced to make decisions that you've never made before. We have disaster recovery plans in our organization. We've thought long and hard, but what we're finding is perhaps a pandemic was not part of that model. And so we're making decisions now about the individual well-being of all the people that are constituents to your organization, including your staff members, your own personal families. And of course, we can't forget about what everyone is thinking about in our industry. You know, the consumers that we from whom we collect, you know, that are going through the same type of crisis, many of whom were already financially disadvantaged and having difficulties financially. And now, what does this mean moving forward? Some of you are asking yourselves, even if you're not mandated to be shut down, should we be open? Is it appropriate to be calling consumers today about the $300 balance with the local hospital when they're going through this type of crisis? So that's why we're here today. We're here to give an open forum, to give you the opportunity to ask questions, or even just as important, to indicate that you're willing to share about what you're doing in your organization. Two quotes come to mind that I've used over the years as I've been a speaker and trainer. One of which is, change is inevitable, but growth is optional. There is change going on right now like we've never seen before. I believe our industry will grow and come out of this in a positive way, but it is going to take a lot of creative thinking to do so. And it's up to us as leaders in the industry to make sure that those decisions lead us into growth. The second quote I found about a year ago, and I've actually chosen to use it on my signature line of my personal email, and it says that life is what we make happen and not what we let happen. And so we have a lot happening around us, and we need to make the right decisions so that we can perpetuate our organizations. With that said, we'd like to open it up to anyone that might like to share. Mike, I know you're managing the chat and the Q&A, and if somebody wants to be on live and share, they're going to indicate that to you. So do we have anything right now?
We don't have anything yet. I will remind everybody that they can indicate in the chat, they can send us a question, or they can raise their hands in Zoom. There's a function to raise your hand, and we'll unmute your line so that you can talk. We do have one person. I'm going to open up the line. Danny Cantrell from Solutions by Text. Can you hear me? Go ahead, Danny. Is there anything you want to share? Danny?
Well, I think many of you know Danny from Solutions by Text. They actually, they're very supportive of our industry at a lot of the conferences that we have by offering their free text technology. And they've got some very creative options, I think, that might be useful in the time that we're in. We'll try to work on that that audio there.
In the meantime, there was a question that came in, Harry, that I think is an interesting one. We don't feel like we will get production from our collectors by having them work remotely. Also, there are a lot of legal issues.
Yeah, well, that's kind of in line with some of the comments that I wanted to make. I've spent the last week or so chatting with a lot of industry individuals. It's hard to believe that a week ago, many of us were in Las Vegas at the Spring Forum meeting with ACA, right? About this time, you know, having our afternoon sessions and getting ready for a cocktail reception. But I'll tell you, everyone in the conference had this very issue in mind, not realizing that a week later, we literally would be on shutdown and lockdown. So in answer to that question, here's what I've been hearing from a lot of people. It's not uncommon that people to work from home. We are in an environment and in a technological age where people work from home. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. But for most organizations, it's your sales reps, it's management, your IT guy, or people, staff might work from at home quite often. But you weren't prepared to flip that model and have all of your frontliners work from at home. There has been a real hesitancy in general among leaders in our industry to have collectors work from home. Some of you do. I know of organizations that have lots of individuals working from at home. That's been your model. But the overwhelming majority do not. And even though you might embrace it now, what you're finding, and I've been hearing these stories the last few days, is that you're not technologically set up to do it. You can't just tell your staff, okay, go home, use your personal laptop and your PC, and here's how you dial into the company. It doesn't work that way. With our data security today, I'm not a technology guy, but you know, all the stories that I've been hearing is that, you know, there's a real danger with data security if you don't have it set up right. So you don't have your VPN set up to have that kind of a volume coming in from outside of the organization. So even if you want to, you can't. Yep. And so I think that is a big issue. And there are legal issues as well. So, one particular individual, you know, I'm looking at some of the emails that have come in. One of the companies that we talked to said that they've had their staff, there was all types of agreements that they had to sign with their staff and privacy notices so that the individuals working offsite, you know, would accommodate the privacy that is so necessary in our industry. So it's a real problem and it's a good question, and you're right. I think I wouldn't worry at a time like this about productivity of our collectors. I'd be more worried about, can you do it? Sure. And do you have it set up right? And I think in this unusual time that I think everyone will come to the table. I would be surprised if productivity becomes a real issue. And the bigger question might be, are you even going to make those calls? It looks like Danny might be hooked up now.
Danny's hooked up. Yeah, hold on 1 second. I'm going to unmute his line. Danny, can you hear me? Danny, can you, are you going to, if you...
He had his phone on mute before.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're not hearing him. Any other questions? I see there's some chat questions are coming in there.
We got questions. We've also got, hold on 1 second. I'm going to mute Danny just for a second. And I'm going to unmute Mary Shores. We're going to let, Mary put her hand down.
All right. You know, one of the things that I think
we're going to open up Mary's line and let Mary share her perspective. Mary, you there?
I am here. Let me turn my camera on. I actually didn't know.
Mary?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go.
We've got your picture up there. That's good.
Okay, so I had said I didn't know that I had raised my hand, but
okay.
Mary and I had a conversation earlier this week. As some of you guys may know already, I did come down with some symptoms last week during that conference. So, you know, that has been on top of mind. One of the things that Harry and I were talking about was like, what is our social responsibility versus our financial responsibility? So I'm hearing from a couple of agencies that have already been asked to put a pause on phone calls for 30 days. So that's very interesting. And one of the things I thought would be a really cool thing to share just for other people who are wondering what to do with their staff, I actually just learned this concept from one of my clients. It's called SBAR. And what it stands for is situation, assessment, let's see. Situation, background, assessment, and recommendation. So like, for example, what I am doing is I am cutting all of my staff down to 30 hours. If they're an hourly employee, I have cutting their hours to 30 hours per week per person starting on Monday. If they are collector, we're going to look at each collector individually. Now we're small, so not everybody would have this luxury of, you know, looking at teams or people one-on-one, but basically I'm looking at the collectors using SBAR. What is their situation? What is the background of, you know, the background of everything. What is my assessment of the situation? So for example, I have one collector who has health challenges. So my decision with her is going to be different than my decision with, say, another person. I have another collector who's also a law student, and I feel like I may cut his collection hours, but I also may use him in other areas because, you know what, he's wicked smart, and I think he could help me out right now. I feel like we don't need as many collectors on our on the floor as we normally do. And so that's kind of just one of the things that I wanted to share for people as I'm not sure about everyone else, but I am feeling a tremendous amount of pressure to make decisions very quickly. And one of the things that I am trying to buy myself is time and space to think. And then you can turn me back off and
well, no, I tell you what, let me just comment on what you're saying. I think what you're going through is exactly what everyone's going through. So I appreciate your comments because I know we've got a lot of people logged on right now that are in your shoes. Let's not forget, one of the things we keep hearing about on the national news and the local news is that this is hurting small business. Our industry is about small business. 50% of the agencies of the country have 10 or fewer employees. 25% have 11 to 25. 75% of our industry is comprised of businesses with 25 or fewer employees. We are small businesses, and every decision you make has a tremendous impact. I do believe that I think we should listen to your recommendation to sit back and think, give yourself space to think, because you've got a lot of there's a lot of dynamics to consider as part of the problem. Like every decision you make has multifaceted impact on a lot of different variables. And don't forget about the fact that this is a sharing industry and a caring industry. You all have friends in the industry, whether it be on the unit level, the unit of ACA, or on the national level, reach out to one another. Whether it be through social media, pick up the phone and ask your friends, what are you doing? And get ideas like we're doing today. I know that you've got a lot of colleagues that will help you out. Do we have someone else? Is Danny ready?
Danny, let me see if I can get Danny here.
All right.
Go ahead, Danny. Can you hear me? We're going to get Danny on, I promise.
One of these times. See, now, if he was texting, we'd be getting loads of texts. It's just
Danny, if you can hear me, I'm going to leave your line open.
Oh, so you can is start. That him?
Can you hear me?
There you are. And Danny, by the way, that is the exact picture of you I anticipated.
Harry, when my daughter saw your face, I said, remember we had dinner with Harry at Gibson's in Chicago.
That's right, in Chicago, yeah, I remember that.
Yes, I think Mike and you guys were organizing this open forum. What we're seeing on the texting side over the last 2 weeks, especially this week, is a change in the actual message itself. Talking about C-19, that we're aware of this is going on. You may experience a longer hold time, but just visually cluing them in on the messaging that they have options and just letting them know that they're aware of it, what's going on. For all those that are on the call, if you want to go to the Solutions by Text website and fill out an info form, we do have a product called Team Text. And you can get your staff opted in and communicate to them via the UI. We live in the cloud. And I've already reached out to Mark Neeb and ACA and RMAI and, you know, for the staff communication. So that's a complimentary service from SBT. So you can kind of keep everybody in the know on the go. But you'll kind of think about this unique twist too. We have a two-way texting portal that lives in the Amazon cloud, and we also have double authentication. So if they're allowed to work from home, we can double and whitelist the IPs and two-factor authentication before they log in. When they're working at the office, that's a different security process. So it's very interesting that, you know, as we're wondering, are we going to collect? Is it okay to collect? Is the government going to say no collecting? We saw in New York on student loans and so forth. It's at the end of the day, they're running small businesses, Harry. I agree. And
yeah,
larger businesses too.
Well, and the stories that I'm hearing, Danny, too, is it's not always the decision of the agency leadership, but I'm hearing of agencies getting contacts from their clients that are saying, we don't want you working our accounts. Many of them are saying, we don't want it. Stop phoning for 30 days or until further notice, and we'll let you know when you can start. So the decision is being made for them. But you know, your type of solution, and you know, as you have been so supportive of this industry and meeting after meeting that I've seen you at, very nice of you to offer that option free of charge to the industry to be able to keep in touch with their teams. What a great opportunity there, because one of the things that everyone's talking about is, you know, how do we keep in touch? Obviously, most people have a cell phone and we can do that informally, but on a platform like yours, it might make a lot of sense. Thanks.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to move on. We've got Amy Thomas from Proximal who asked to say a few words. Amy, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. How are you?
We're good. Hi, thank you.
Oh, good. You can hear us. Good.
Yep, we can.
Awesome. I'm actually here with Brian Liebneck, who's the executive director of Proximal. Just wanted to chime in a little bit here. Harry, you know that actually our whole collections department pretty much are 100% remote.
Right.
We're able to do this because we are physician owned. So everything, our servers have been compliant with HIPAA from the get-go anyways. So we're just sort of putting it out there if anyone has any specific questions. When this all went down, we all sort of looked at each other. We're like, okay, work remote. We've been doing this forever. So
you've got an unusual model, right?
Yeah, it is.
And so you're ideally set up. You know, when I talk about learning from this, I guarantee you that one thing we'll learn from this is that we will have the ability for everyone to work at home from now on, right?
Oh, yeah,
even if
absolutely.
They don't on a regular basis. And I think if companies are forced to do this in the interim, you'll get more comfortable with it. Like the first, you know, the concern was raised, will they be productive? There's a lot of technology relative to being productive that it's as if that person is in your office. And you can maybe address that, Amy. I mean, how do you monitor what your collectors are doing when they're not in the office?
So every night I get reports from our phone system that is actually recorded and everything. Each employee has a voice over IP phone.
Yep. So
every night at 9 p.m., actually, I get call audit reports and logs to see how many phone calls they have made, time on the call, how many inbound, outbound. So I'm able to look at their productivity every single day. So if I see that they're making X amount of calls one day and then the next it's half, I get concerned. And actually, the employees knowing that I look at that every single day
Sure. Makes
me productive.
Well, plus you've got production reports in your collection system too. So they're working off your collection system, and just as we do on any collection platform, we can see that. So I think people that haven't done it are leery about it. But it's as if, like you said, with the VoIP phones and you know, internet based, it's like the person is in your office. I think a lot of people today have VoIP phones, but you know, you pick up your phone at your home office. And you you know, hit an extension, and it's like you're in your office building talking to one another.
Hey, Harry, it's Brian. I just wanted to comment on just generally overall. It's a tough time. It's a tough time for everybody in this country and in the world, really. But as an agency, we have a lot of obligations, right? We're obligated to our clients. We're certainly obligated to our employees. And to some extent, if not a lot, we're obligated to the debtors. And, you know, we had a call this morning, operation call with our team. And the first thing that I wanted to do was ensure everyone that they weren't going to lose their jobs and
sure.
You know, get through this. And that's because you have to understand, it's not just your employee We have employees who have husbands and wives that are servers in restaurants, industries that have really completely shut down. And this might be their only income. So you want to ensure your employees are okay. Secondly, I really look at this as a great opportunity to really promote the agency. Is not just that typical hard-nosed collection agency. We're going to send a message out to our clients saying, hey, you know, we understand it's a tough time. We're not going to harass clients. We're not going to do anything besides really coddle your patients. And then as far as the debtors go, really a great opportunity. You can still continue to be productive to someone. We have limited overtime and things like that. But when you're talking to people, there's lots of help that you can give the debtor in addition to if they need to reschedule payments, if you know, those type of things. But there's also, they may be struggling. It's a time that you could really offer them some help. You know, United Way has an 800 number that people can call if they're struggling financially, which really builds a better relationship between you and that debtor, that maybe when this clears up, and it will clear up, that you're now on the top of the list of the people they want to pay.
Sure.
It can turn out to be a positive and not just a negative until this ends. And it will end. I don't know if it's going to be April, May, June, or August, but it will come to an end at some point.
Oh, great. Well, thanks for those encouraging comments. And I agree. I think one of the things that's quite frankly worrying a lot of operators in our industry is that undoubtedly payments will subside somewhat. My gut feeling is that you're still going to have a lot of recurring payments continue. Yeah, people will continue to pay, but you're going to have a lot of people with hardship, and then that then results into a bottom line issue for anyone that has a collection firm. You know, your fees will be down. If in fact you're still operating at all over the next coming week. So I know that, you know, the financial issue is really at the basis for everybody. When you think of the average size of agencies, you know, most agency owners that I know of are not rolling in the dough. There's successful companies out there, but boy, you know, month by month, it's important to hit those goals. So it will force all of us to look at our financial situation a little differently. Do we have somebody else lined up, Mike?
Yeah, we've got a line of people that are looking to share their perspectives. Deborah, are you there? Deborah, can you hear me? I feel like a DJ.
Yeah.
Long-time caller, long-time listener, first-time caller. Deborah, can you hear me? Deborah Rosnos, you're up, if you can hear me. I guess
it
not. Maybe she's
might have a hard time getting through.
Maybe. We're going to bring up Garrett Angelo. Garrett, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hear you, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Completely, but we can hear you.
Perfect. I think there was an issue with the conference line for those who are trying to dial in through their phone, but not connected to the Zoom via my cell phone, and I'm glad to be here. Hi, Harry. Hi, Mike. Hi, everyone.
Yeah.
Interesting time, certainly. I was going to speak from the perspective for those of us that are still in our office working, trying to keep business operations as normal as possible during this trying time. Part of the reason that my staff is in the office for the most part is because of the laws here that we have here in the state of Michigan. And there's some unclarity as to whether a collection operation can take place from the comfort of someone's home. So that is why we are in the office. We're fortunate enough to have a fairly large office for our staff. So we are able to observe, you know, the social distancing that has been requested from our leadership, and you know, we're washing hands frequently, and we've equipped everybody at our office for good personal hygiene. And you know, the ironic part about this is we're probably living healthier than we ever have been, and this is going to need to continue for months after this clears up as well. But, you know, just some tips for those of us that are in the office and do not have the ability to work from home, you know, reduce the duration of your physical interactions when possible. I think one thing that we'll take away from this is a lot of things can be accomplished via phone calls and conference calls and emails and, you know, technology is our friend. I am the current president of the Michigan Association of Collection Agencies, and we were scheduled for our quarterly meeting in Lansing yesterday. And for as long as I've been involved, we've never missed one of those meetings, and we've never conducted one over the phone. Well, yesterday was a first. We did a webinar or a Zoom call similar to this, and it went very well. So making a conscious effort to reduce the physical interactions, obviously. We've staggered working hours a little bit, and we've staggered lunch breaks to reduce the gatherings. And for those of us that do business development and sales and networking events for our companies, a lot of those events are not time sensitive and non-critical at this point. Right? So put those off where you can. Really try to hone in on the business critical operations. And for those operations, obviously, as has been discussed, we need to be more compassionate than ever right now. You know, consumers are going to be hypersensitive to what their families are going through, and paying an older bill is not necessarily going to be top priority. So we've discussed internally, if it does come down to the point where, you know, we are no longer able to come to the office, we're not going to be placing outbound calls to consumers, because it's not going to be very well reflected from a PR standpoint if people are not able to go to their job and you know, we're trying to collect old debts from them. So that's an internal decision that we've made, but certainly trying times. To echo what Brian had said earlier, one of the biggest things is reassuring your employees that you have a plan and an outcome for every situation, and that they're going to be okay. Because just like everybody else, they're searching for answers. And as leaders of our agencies, they depend on us, and you want to make sure that they have the comfort in knowing that everything's going to be okay.
Well, some great comments. Thanks so much. You know, that's good information for us to hear. I want to just circle back on a couple of things. You mentioned the appropriateness of working from home according to your state regulations. Some of you may have seen, some of you might be online from Minnesota. Minnesota does not allow collectors to work from home, from what I understand, but have now allowed them to. There's a moratorium on that, and they're allowing you to allow them to work from home, I think, through the end of April, I saw. So I think that, you know, I think that you'll see changes like that being made. Also, your board meeting was canceled. Well, as many of you have seen, for about the next 3 months, all industry meetings have been canceled. All the conferences, all the unit meetings are being canceled out. So I think that will be kind of part of our culture moving forward. And relative to sales, I think you're absolutely right. This is not the time to be making sales calls. I was talking to a friend yesterday who owns an agency, and he kind of joked with me. He says, I had a cold call from a salesperson today. Can you believe somebody would act? He said, I was so ticked off that they called me. So I think people are pretty sensitive about that right now. That's part of our decision making. You know, what should we be doing? Who should we be talking to? And I think probably sales right now, you know, unless you have an option, you have a platform that might help a company today weather the next few months. What do we have next?
We're going to try and bring Deborah back. Deborah, can you hear me? Deborah, are you there?
One of the connectivity issues might be, and you shared that article with me, Mike, Zoom, the platform we are on today, has had hundreds of percent growth over the last few days. Everyone now, because they're confined to home, are signing up with Zoom. So they're being blasted, I think.
I feel a little, you know, everyone's kind of stealing my thunder is how I feel. I've been using this for so long, and everyone else is using it.
No, everyone, right?
Deborah wrote in a comment here. I'm going to read it. The question was asked, do or do we not collect at this time? Our experience has been that the consumers are happy to be able to resolve their bill. This gives them peace of mind. Several consumers stated they had time to sit down and look over this and contact us. Be compassionate and work with the consumer.
Yeah, So I think you're right. I mean, I don't know that we have to sit down today and say, gosh, we shouldn't be working. It is just inappropriate to ask consumers for money right now. Just like I believe a lot of those recurring payments that you have set up in your agencies, they're probably going to be fine. And if not, you're going to hear from the consumer. So I think words of encouragement, even if the conversation is, we'll forego your payment this month. Okay, you know, because they might be scared about that. You know, what happens if they miss their payment this month? So I think that's just as much of a reason we should perhaps be working and continuing calls to reassure people that if you can't pay this month, that let's look at next month. Let's revise the payment plan. And maybe instead of the $200, we take $100 or $50 this month. So because most people that are engaged with you are going to want to continue on, depending on their financial situation.
Yep. Excellent. Absolutely. Next, I'm going to bring in Courtney Renault. Courtney, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
We can. Courtney.
Yay. So, I mean, I'm sure everybody or a lot of people, if you're hearing from California, are suffering the same as we have. So I know some agencies were shut down, were given notification basically on Monday that they had until midnight. That's the Bay Area. Yesterday we received news from our county that they were requesting voluntary shelter in place. However, businesses that violated it would lose their business license and be fined. So we scrambled yesterday evening in order to set up a process, and we were working on this since over the weekend of who our key people are and how we can keep them working remotely and how we can keep the general function of our office functioning. Unfortunately, due to our security requirements with SOC and HITRUST as well as client requirements, that has put us behind the ball in being able to get people working remotely on our stuff. However, I have my IT person. There's a few of us that are here in the office today, including my HR director, myself, and my ops manager and my IT director, in order to get us up so we can start delivering computers and machines to people's homes so that they can access some systems. We're not making any outbound calls. In fact, I've been the only person on our phone system today taking inbound calls from consumers. We had to pop in new messages. We're in the process of implementing an IVR, and I'm shooting myself for not having done that last year when I first started thinking about it, or 2 years ago. But here we are scrambling, and thankfully Payment Vision, Billing Tree, and everybody has been really, really supportive of our company and me and Applied Innovation. I really appreciate that. So where we're at today is we're an office of, you know, four people. I had to lay everybody off yesterday. And that was the hardest day, and it might make me cry, and I'm not going to do that.
Well, it's okay to be emotional because, you know, you're a small business owner, and I know that, the general public doesn't get warm, fuzzy feelings for the job that we do. You know, we often joke about that. But the relationships we have and the good work that we do and the professionalism of our industry is perpetuated by small business owners. You have worked really hard to build the company you have, and I'm sure that going for weeks or months with reduced income or being shut down entirely can be pretty devastating. And I think that's, you know, that's the human component of that we all have to be thinking about. Once again, don't discount the ability to reach out to friends in the industry. You know, one of the surprising elements in our industry from people outside of the industry is that they're shocked how caring we are with our competition. You know, you're a member, you've been president of CAC, Courtney, and you're in leadership out there. And in our respective markets, we are friends with the people who we're competing against, and we're there to help one another. And I think that's the important thing. So thanks for sharing.
It's been a tough week. It feels like it's been a tough year these last 3 days. So we're just moving through it. And my staff is incredibly resilient. I've gotten text messages, phone calls, where they've come in after we gave them the bad news yesterday. And they were thanking me and saying, hey, you know, we believe in you, we believe in your leadership. And if anybody can pull us through this, it's you. And, I would have much preferred for them to be angry and yelling at me. Honestly, it would have been easier. but they weren't. And for that, I realize what an amazing team I really do have here at the office. And I know all of us have that. And so I hope for everybody that if you have already had to go through these office shutdowns, that you've had a similar experience with your staff. And also that you, if you haven't, please, please, please start preparing for that remote work. Who do you need? Who are your key people that can keep your office functioning? If you are required to be away for a week or 2 weeks or a month or the unknown, it's been a big scramble here in California, and it's been really hard for all of the California agencies. And I'm sure that we're not alone in other states as well. So if I can help in any way with my ideas, I'm happy to share them with anybody on the call.
Thank you, Courtney. That's great. And, a lot of us are easy to be found if you don't have everyone's contact information, via LinkedIn today. You know, any names you see popping up today that you want to correspond with, we'll be happy to help. Likewise, if you need to get in touch with someone, Mike or myself, just, hey, send a message and we'll help out and connect you with who you need to be connected with. One of the things I've always talked about in my training over the years is a very powerful element in collections is the ability to empathize. When you have the ability to empathize with the consumer, you are far more effective. And I believe what will come out of this experience is that there's going to be a lot of people that are in our industry that maybe haven't had some of the financial challenges that others have had, will have a different perspective as they're collecting into the future. I think there's no doubt about that.
Excellent.
Do we have anybody else, Mike?
Yeah, there's plenty, but I did want to mention, to your point about how well and how together this industry is, just, if you're in the chat box, just seeing all the messages of support that have started coming in the last few minutes, it's really kind of overwhelming. There are a couple of questions here as I sort of scroll through to try and find them that I wanted to ask before I bring on our next caller.
Sure.
And that question, I don't remember specifically if this was something you mentioned or something maybe Garrett mentioned, because I think it came in before Courtney started talking. And it was, the question was, can we do that in our voicemails? And please elaborate. I don't remember exactly what that was
referring
to. Do you?
I don't. No, I don't. But, I think the issue here is that one of the questions we have is, can we – should we be working? If we are working, can we leave voicemails? If we leave voicemails, what do we say in a voicemail? What is the consumer supposed to do if they call back? I think everyone's struggling a little bit about what is the appropriate thing to do. I saw that Todd Sanmaria was online with VoApps. And VoApps, of course, many of you online may be using that technology, the direct drop messages on cell phones. Maybe that's an option for some of you to pursue those types of technologies that are very different. How do we get messages out to people in mass?
Yeah, here's a good question along the lines of what we've been talking about today. Should agencies continue to credit report?
But that's a great question. I would say we probably will. I guess the question is, do we what changes do we make? You know, certainly when we report, we're reporting the current status of the account. It's, you know, it's already in most cases in collection. It may not show a payment made this month, but that I think is an interesting question. You know, do we stop? Is there a moratorium on that for a while? My guess is that most agencies won't. But as this thing develops, you know, just like we in Washington right now, you know, we have some legislators that are thinking we shouldn't be able to work for the next 4 months. You know, imagine if a mandate like that is made that, you know, all debt collection stops. I kind of think that won't happen, but it's a possibility. And so we're all, I think the dilemma we have right now is that we are all thinking about the what ifs. And that's probably a good thing. You should right now in your organization, in your management meetings, you know, have on the whiteboard, one of the elements you should have is, what if we are forced to shut down for 4 months? What does that look like to your organization? What would you do? And do some of that, you know, emergency planning.
Yeah, there have been a number of questions that have come in the chat about, you know, has anybody been shut down yet? And to the best of my knowledge, all this changes minute by minute, there hasn't been anybody that, you know, any city, state that has said collection agencies have to shut down. New York State the other day did say they were going to stop medical and certain types of collections, but that was only on debts that were owed to the state and collected by the Attorney General.
Right.
Private collection agencies could continue operating. I know the Attorney General of Colorado is urging people, to creditors and student lenders, to stop collection, but it hasn't progressed beyond that there yet. The city of Chicago has instituted a moratorium on collecting certain types of debt that are owed to the city. And like you said, you know, Representative Maxine Waters, the chairwoman of the House Financial Services Committee, you know, in one of her proposals was, you know, banning all collection activities through the pandemic and then through a period of 120 days after. But that is still in the proposal phase, as far as I know.
Well, I think this is such a moving target because we, you know, as we talked about at the beginning of the call, you know, Courtney and I were together at Spring Forum having a cocktail at this time last week, literally 1 week ago, and talking in general, and here we are today. So what will happen over the next week? I think you'll see mandates being made. I think a week from now that there it's going to be a very different scenario, and we'll know a little bit more. At least we'll know something and what needs to be changed or accommodated. So.
Absolutely. Now I want to bring on John Bedard has raised his hand. So John, can you hear me?
John, and there's his picture. I would recognize him anywhere.
Can you hear me, Mike? Mike, you there?
I'm here.
Excellent. Look, thank you for unmuting me. Right now, this very moment, I think can be the collection industry's finest hour. Nobody in the credit life cycle is better equipped to help consumers than debt collectors right now. Contrary to the perception of lawmakers across the country, prohibiting communication from debt collectors hurts consumers a lot more than it helps them. If we just kick the consumer's debt can down the road, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, I mean, that could have catastrophic harm to consumers compared to the workouts, the debt reductions, and the unprecedented payment plans that collectors can help consumers with right now. You know, our industry doesn't like the reputation it has in the marketplace. Times like this right now allow our industry to shape that reputation in very positive ways. You know, clients need us now more than ever to deliver that revenue that they so desperately need. Consumers need us now more than ever to help them work out their financial stress. Now is the time, I think, to change perception in the industry. And here's the great thing about what's happening right now, to the extent we can find some silver lining, is that consumer debt is not going away. If this lasts for 7 days, fine. If it lasts for 14 days, okay. If it lasts for 30 days, okay. We're gonna hunker down. We're going to be together. We're going to weather this storm, and originations are going to skyrocket after this. the amount of debt that is going to feed the pipeline after this is over is only going to be larger than it is right now. And so it's hard right now. Don't get me wrong. We feel it. Everybody that we work with feels it. Our clients feel it. And so I'm not sugarcoating how painful this is right now. But there is hope. And I think things are going to be much better in the future than they have been over the last several weeks. And that's the positive attitude I'm trying to spin, that I'm trying to take on this whole thing. I would really love the leaders of our largest trade groups in the industry to issue a joint statement about the industry's position in response to lawmaker concerns, in response to state AGs, in response to regulator concerns. Now's the time for our industry unity. And you know, if we can't do that now, then doing it in the future might not be very meaningful. But we're going to be okay, all of us, including Courtney. We're all going to be okay. We're all going to weather the storm. And this is going to, we're going to take this as an opportunity to use this time as our industry's finest hour. I'll stop. I'll get off my soapbox.
Well, John, you've always had such wisdom. Thank you. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, it's about perspective sometimes. I had a friend that owns an agency literally this morning, and she said, you know what? I would have preferred to have been served with a major lawsuit this week rather than going through what we're going through now. How often do you hear anyone say that, right?
Yes, yes. And you know, I would have preferred that too, Harry, because that's exactly what we could help them with.
That's right. You would. So very good. Well, thanks for sharing. And John, I believe that you are up tomorrow. You have a webinar on accountsrecovery.net. Do you want to just say real quickly what that's about?
Yes. And so there's a lot of questions about whether we should collect. Are we allowed to collect? What's going on across the country in terms of what regulators are expecting, what they're mandating? And so we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what states have done different things to accommodate mobile workforces or remote workforces.
Fantastic.
We're going to talk about, you know, all the issues that remote employees raise, you know, that we need to address and be conscious of. We're going to talk about reducing hours and things like that. And so, yes, that's what we're going to talk about.
Fantastic. Well, what a great resource. For those of you logged on today, that sounds like that might be right in line with a lot of the questions you have, too. You have a whole program tomorrow.
Absolutely. We've got, along with John, we've got Tim Haig from State Collection Service and Laura Valenzuela from Performant Corp, who will be alongside John answering questions tomorrow about all of the topics that John raised. And John, I just want to say I loved you in Moneyball. All right, moving on. Deborah Siski is asked to say a few words. So just give me a second, Deborah, and I will unmute your line. Deborah, can you hear me? I'm trying to unmute you, Deborah.
It looks like
there we are. I can hear you.
Okay, great. I think it had to happen on both ends. So thanks, Mike and
no
Harry. Great to see you. I'm sorry.
Hey, Deborah.
At Spring Forum, but I just wanted to kind of continue what John was talking about. It was very, very wise comments there and significant comments. And so, you know, I think this is our opportunity to turn this in our favor in some regards. If we are going to be open, we have employees coming to the office, which many people want to do because they really rely on their income from our companies. But this is our opportunity to sort of turn ourselves into customer service organizations, at least, you know, temporarily. Hopefully we always have that sort of customer service mindset, but now it kind of has to, you know, up. The price of poker has gone up a little bit here. And so we have the opportunity to, you know, work with consumers. We have consumers, I'm sure, that are on recurring payments. As you had said earlier, Harry, they might want to reduce those. They may need some leeway, and they may be afraid to call us because maybe sure. They haven't had a good relationship with us, or they're just concerned that they're just going to be flat out told no. So we want to make it as pleasing a conversation, you know, as possible. And, you know, we all have done that. You know, we want to rely on what we've told people from day one in the collection industry, and that is, if you're having trouble making your payments, call the collection agency and have a conversation about it. So we really want to be sure that we're emphasizing that today. I just wanted to talk about, well, what do we do when we have people in the office and there aren't calls coming in? We're not, you know, having calls ring off the hook. How do we keep our people focused and remain productive? And think about training, for example. This is an opportunity that we can sort of get in some annual FDCPA training that we feel we may be required to do, or HIPAA training, just kind of depending on the kind of clients that we serve. And the, you know, if we don't have something electronic available at this point in time, I would say focus on what ACA can offer to you. You know, ACA International has just launched a lot of on-demand training, and I just now got an email from ACA, and they're making the offer that ACA is offering free online training to all members via their Training Zone product through April 30th. So that's recorded and live core seminars, hot topic seminars, you know, the ACA seminars that they have available on demand. And there are 6 or 8 of those available right now. So, and I'm kind of speaking from my position as a member of ACA's Education Council. You know, if you have the opportunity to use these products for free, get a kind of look at what they offer. I really think that it's a good opportunity to show your people that you care about their professional development while they're there at the office anyway. This is something even you could do with your remote workers. And so I would just encourage people to look at ACA for these kinds of resources that really aren't available in many other places. You know, people could be working on their credentials, their credentialing programs, their designations while they're waiting for the calls to come in, you know, especially if you're in that situation where your clients or maybe your state has said you can't do debt collection calls. Just from a compliance perspective, I would just remind people that, you know, we have required letters we have to send if we're doing recurring payments with consumers, like post-dated check letters. We want to make sure that our letter vendors or whoever it is that's sending those on our behalf, you know, is staffed and making sure those things go out. This would be a really, you know, bad time for us to have inadvertent violations because we didn't kind of dot the I's and cross the T's. And the other one thing I just want to remind people about that could be required by your state law or states where you're licensed is that oftentimes payments have to be posted within 24 hours of receipt. And so if you're still getting payments online, which people may prefer to do and just routinely do, you want to, if you can staff that function at least, then you can stay on top of that issue as well. Certainly we have SLAs with clients that require payments to be posted, you know, almost immediately. So that's one thing to keep in mind if people have. And I know our top of mind is what about our employees? How can we make sure that, you know, all the bases are covered for them? But we have to think about some of these other compliance requirements. So
good, great comments, Deborah. And I think, you know, the education issue is really, really critical. What a great time to have education. What, you know, if your company's down somewhat, if you're changing up, you know, electronically tapping into education makes a lot of sense. So thanks for sharing that. And you're working with a company called Collection Coach right now, is that correct?
Yes, I am. We are just preparing to launch some training content that will be available through our website, thecollectionscoach.com. It's not quite up and running yet, but, you know, by the end of the week, you may see something there.
You've been an educator for longer than I have. Deborah's, I think, the only certified trainer with ACA that's been doing it longer than I have. She was director of education at ACA. That's not an age statement, by the way. She was she's much younger than I am. So
heard as a teenager.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thanks.
Anything else, Mike? Anyone else in line? I know we're about at the hour here.
We are. We have committed to going longer if anybody was. There's nobody else with their hand raised now, but I'm scrolling through all of these chats and questions, and there are a couple of things that we may want to spend a few minutes talking about. We've kind of talked a little bit about this, but at what point do you think, you know, for people who are still making outbound calls, at what point do you think it becomes inappropriate to call consumers about their debt?
Yeah, and I think that's in line with what we're talking about relative to how much has changed just over the last 7 days. Yeah. I bet you 7 days from now, there's going to be a lot of new conversations going on relative to the mandates that have been made and you know, input by the associations. I think John was you know, very apt in his idea that the associations need to gather together. You know, our industry needs to have one voice right now. And what are the recommendations and what makes sense for us to do? I think it is also somewhat up to, you know, the size of your company, the location of the company, the clients that you represent. You know, in many cases, as we've seen in some of the examples, clients are mandating that you can't call. So right. It won't be up to you. And I think what might happen is that more and more creditors, if they mandate that, that inevitability, then we might find that, you know, we won't be doing calls 30 days from now. And I think that the uncertainty and the scary part about this is that they're telling us that this could go on for months. I mean, hopefully we're going to see a change in the curve with all of the new cases of the virus. But if it isn't, you know, we might be holed up for quite some time. And what does that look like? So I think we're going to see a lot of change yet.
Exactly. And on the topic of education, Harry, I'd be remiss if I didn't offer a plug and remind and let everybody know who hasn't seen it already. But Harry's been involved in an event that Jack Gordon from Web Recon and I have been putting on for a few years called Collector Live. And Jack and I have made all of the videos from all 3 years of Collector Live available for free for the next 60 days. So if you haven't seen the email yet, send me an email and I'll send you the link. Free access to 3 years worth of content from great speakers like Harry, like John Bedard, like Mary Shores, like Garrett. A lot of the people you've heard from today have been speakers and have covered great topics. And all of that is available for free for now for the next 60 days. So hopefully.
What a nice gift. No, that, and I tell you, you know, I've been very involved with Collector Live, but not because I've been involved with it. It what a phenomenal resource. Those vignettes, those 15-minute vignettes on all variety of topics, they are perfect ways to, in kind of a micro fashion, train your staff.
Absolutely. Well, here they're going through again. There's a comment here from somebody after Katrina. Excuse me. We found it to be beneficial to restrict outbound calls and just do inbound calls and direct people to our website and IVR and become customer service advocates, like we've been talking about, setting temporary payments for 90 days, telling clients up front how and why we are doing that. We got through that, and then it'll be the same this time.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, it's interesting because what's happening now is that everyone is impacted by this. But there have been pockets across the country, like the great example of Katrina, where, you know, companies have had to go into this kind of survival mode regionally. And now, of course, we're all in that boat and the whole industry is there. And so great sharing. And once again, don't underscore, I don't want to be, you know, redundant here, but reach out to your friends in the industry. You know, pick up the phone and give them a call and say, what the heck are you doing? You know, you might just get a gem here or there that might work for you. And sometimes it's a little bit regionalized because, you know, your states are making different mandates and, you know, it's not a federal issue. A lot of it is state-based. And like I may have commented at the beginning, you know, part of the crisis in Pennsylvania is that the liquor stores closed at 9 p.m. on Wednesday. There were lines like I've never seen out the doors up until 9 p.m. because God forbid we don't get our liquor for the next 2 weeks or more, right?
They're going to have to start making it in their bathtubs. to your point about how this has impacted everybody, here's an interesting question. If we have a consumer that has not paid their bill for 12 months and uses coronavirus as an excuse to not pay their bill now, how would you handle? Would you push for payment respectfully or move on?
That's a great, you know, I think pushing respectfully kind of makes sense. I know Mary has commented, I'm sure she has some thoughts on this in her communication work that she does. I will tell you, there were loads of stories in the industry after 9/11. People a year or two after 9/11 were claiming 9/11 on why they couldn't pay.
Sure.
So in those cases, you're dealing, I think, with individuals that probably were not, you know, at the top of the list relative to, you know, willingness to pay.
Right.
And you will hear this. You'll hear this for quite some time. Yeah.
So put you on the spot and ask you for an example of respectfully pushing sounds like.
Yeah, well, you know, Deborah Siskey just posted, use compassion. All right. So an understanding type of tone. You know, we have a tactic that we've used in the industry called feel, felt, found. It's a way to connect with someone. Mr. Jones, I understand how you feel. I have talked to a number of other people today who have felt the same way. And what we have found is that the following programs work. Relate to them, show the compassion, show some understanding, but then loop it back to, you know, the issue at hand relative to the payment. Maybe it's a lesser payment. Maybe it is a different type of workout. It might be mandated by your client standards. It might be mandated by your company standards. You know, when we talk about compassion, the way we deal with people today, overwhelmingly, we are now an industry of compassionate collectors. You know, that old culture that people sometimes joke about how agencies are so hard-nosed, that hasn't been the case for years. And quite frankly, even in the, you know, the cowboy days of decades ago, it was never that bad. But today, we are about treating consumers like customers. It is about educating. It is about using compassion. It's about understanding and empathy. And we can't change that. And we might even notch that up a little bit more as we go into the coming months.
I have another important update for you. I'm not sure if you saw it in the chat or not, Harry, but they shut down alcohol sales in Fresno, California yesterday, too.
Oh, my gosh.
People in Pennsylvania are not alone.
Not the only one, so at least they don't feel so bad. Well, see, Pennsylvania has an unusual setup. We have, you can't buy liquor at grocery stores and all. We have state liquor stores. They're owned and managed by the state. And so you literally, if they're shut down, there's nowhere you can go. So I bet you people will be crossing borders to buy some liquor, right?
I should set up shop on, you know, on the border between New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Right. It's like the opposite, because here in New Jersey, you can't buy fireworks, but you cross the state line into Pennsylvania. And as soon as you get across the state line, fireworks stores as far as the eye can see.
Right.
I think it's now. Mary raised her hand again, so I'm gonna unmute you, Mary, and let you talk about what I'm sure about compassionate collections. Go ahead.
How'd you guess, Mike?
Not my first rodeo.
Well, what I wanted to mention, and I've been taking a neuroscience class recently. I'm actually taking a neuroscience class called the neurobiology of compassion. And so I've learned a lot about compassion, and compassion is different than empathy. And I won't go all into that, but what I will do is give people a nice phrase to use, which is just, you know, I can completely see why you're concerned. I can see your concerns. You could say, you know, I can understand what you're going through, which is exactly what Harry said. And to add to that, I want to say that what I'm really learning is about how people's fears, feelings, and needs determine their behaviors, their actions, and their reactions. And so I think that that's, you know, collectively as a community in the United States, that's the reason all the toilet paper disappeared off the shelves. Yeah. Is because people, they're worried about getting their personal needs met, and so they're reacting out of a fear, so they go out and buy all the toilet paper. So absolutely, as we unfold, you know, people are going to be who they are. The people who are fearful are going to be fearful. People who are angry are going to be angry. And consumers will definitely feel an opportunity to try to get out of paying. And so Harry had an interesting way of mentioning this, like a something about how to softly push. My suggestion would be that we say, I can see why you're concerned. Let's go ahead and update your information so we can discuss their options, and you just handle them as normal. We're talking about the consumer that their debt is 12 months old and they've ignored us until now it's the coronavirus and all of a sudden they want to talk about it. So once you then update their information and you discuss their options, what you could do is use an action statement just as you would any other phone call, but just by inserting the validation part or the compassion part and the upfront, the science would suggest that that is going to activate more motivational parts of the brain than how we normally would handle things like that, which actually activates the punishment centers of the brain.
Sure. No, this is your area, Mary, definitely with the communication and the great words there. I see where Christy Bass posted another phrase. I'm sorry to hear that. We completely understand your situation. We will put a temporary hold on your account to give you time to work and get your affairs in order. I mean, I think conversations like that make a lot of sense. And quite frankly, some of those consumers that decide to use these as excuses might be surprised at that response. They're waiting for maybe a tougher response, and you might actually be able to end up working out arrangements if you do so. So thanks again for sharing, Mary.
Absolutely. I don't see anybody else with their hand raised right now. Let's see, have I missed anything as you're looking through the chat?
No, I think we're pretty good. And I'm thinking, Mike, maybe there's an opportunity for us to go into phase two of this session. What are you thinking?
I think that's a great idea.
All right. I would be more than happy to volunteer to host another one of these next week if you'd like to do so. And maybe a week from now or so, we might have some new information to share.
Someone just said we should have phase two call a week to go over new ideas.
How about that? It was like it was prompted, right?
Well, I think we were looking at maybe Wednesday next week, right?
We're getting a lot of responses. Yes, please, please, please. Well, let's do it then. So here's the thing. Those of you, we still have, what's amazing me is typically on all the webinars that I do, when you get to the hour, you have about 90% of people drop off. We've got about 90% of people that have stayed.
Absolutely.
So I know that you want to hear more about this. So we'll be more than happy. Mike can let everyone know sometime next week. We will come out with a session two. And what we'd ask you, if you're going to join us again, be ready to talk about a story. What happened in your area? What have you done that worked? What did you try that didn't work? And we'll continue to help one another through this difficult time.
Absolutely. And to Ashley's question, yes, this has been recorded. I hope. Now I got to look. Yes, it's being recorded. So as soon as the recording gets processed, we were talking about Zoom's been a little busy these last few days. So I'm hoping by tomorrow we'll have it up on the webinar recordings page, which we're talking about free education. Every webinar I've ever done, the recording is up on accountrecovery.net's webinar recordings page and is available for free. Probably should have been charging for that, but it's too late now, I guess. But this will be posted there as well. And look for a new email from myself probably by the end of the day, where Harry and I will pick another day and we'll do round two of this. And to the extent that Harry and I can keep doing this, I think we will keep doing this throughout this crisis, just because, like Harry says, this information and the situation is changing daily, if not more frequently than that. So,
well, Mike, Harry, and I'll assure everyone, although I'm the new VP of Business Development for Applied Innovation, I will not be calling you, all right? I'm not going to call and try to sell anyone anything until we get through this this time, but I look forward to being a resource for the industry.
Can I call and try and sell you, Harry?
Oh, you're okay, Mike.
Listen, Harry, this was awesome. Thank you so much. I've been so excited that I'm not excited that we got to do this because of the situation, but just that we were able to provide this, this forum for everybody. This was a great, great session. So thank you. And thank you to Applied Innovation for sponsoring today. Thank you to everybody who asked questions and participated and has supported Harry and myself and everybody else through this. We look forward to seeing you back soon. Right.
Very good. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks. We'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody.
Hang in there.